Now, you're a singer with a particular skill in traditional singing. Who did you first get interested in Scots singing?
Oh, that come with the territory. That just come with the territory, because my father was a fine singer. My granny was a fine singer. My mother, I believe, was a fine singer, because I was awfully young when she died. So it was I there.
So they would all have done tons at parties.
They done tons at parties. My father did the halls, bussed his way down to London during the Depression.
Oh, did he?
And picked up songs along the way, because one of the things about the days was there were places, and most of the tunes were, if you were on the road like that, you could get a bed, you know, the unions and that, folk would get, but also if you were a long way for a tune, you could ice stop at a traveller camp or a gypsy camp if you were south, and they were
sing for your supper.
You could literally sing for your supper. There was a plate of grub in that you could sleep beside the fire. Mm-hmm. So my father, he learnt a lot of songs for them. Mm-hmm. When they found out how good they were at singing, actually, I think this time and my uncle Jimmy started just particularly looking for camps so they could get more songs. Mm-hmm. But he had time for the travellers. He thought a lot of them. So. Mm-hmm.
And did your family learn songs and write them down, or was it just all by heart?
You usually learnt them by heart, although my father had lots of books of songs and other cuttings and things, and the wee things that used to be in the People's Journal and the Sunday Post used to give a wee thingy of Scots songs. We had all them, and I wish we'd kept them, but when we broke up my father's house, I think an awful lot of things that should have been hung on to got through it.
Right.
As I happens.
That's a sound,
aye. It happens.
And when did you first make the language of traditional sang in Scots? Did it feel like it belonged your tongue?
Aye. When I was at school, I was at the Harris Academy. And of course we got all sorts of songs. We got Leader and we got English art song and Scottish art song and all that kind of thing. But I liked the Scots songs. I liked the Burns stuff. I liked Lady Nairn. I liked other. I liked the stuff that I had for him. Although that caused a wee bit of a stir now and again. My music teacher, lovely woman, Aggie Simpson, beautiful woman she was, when I was about 13, said to me, "You know, Shuna, you've got the makings of a fine singer, if only you weren't quite so common." And honestly, I must have that woman's estate royalties the number of times I've used that, but it was the thing that she said, you know, because I kept saying, it didn't matter what I was singing, I sung it with a Dundee accent. Looking back on it, it was probably a good thing, because I'm making effort now to get the accent right when I'm singing a song. Mm-hmm. Whether it's in German or English or the rest of it, and I try not to make an Aberdeenshire song too Dundonian. It's difficult. Hard.
And do you think there's muckle help in Scotland for young folk wanting to make a career at a Scots sang?
There's more now than there has ever been. It's still no easy. Still no easy. But then making your way in any of the arts is no easy. It doesn't matter whether you want to be an opera singer or a busker, it's still no easy.
What kind of places can you spear it for help?
We've now got the National Centre for Excellence up in Clocton. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, they do Scots sang. The RSAMD, of course, they all do Scots sang. They've got a day Scots and Gaelic sang in there. There's mere folk. There's the TMSA, of course, the Traditional Music and Song Association of Scotland, as it's proudly called. Mm-hmm. I think what's good about the TMSA is that they ken where all the singers that are no making a career out are. So there's a lot of help and support and things there for young people.
So they're kind of looking out for the amateur folk. Would that be right?
Well, aye, in that kind of way. They're looking for the tradition bearers, the people mm-hmm. that are keeping the tradition going without making a living out it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Are there any particular songs or composers that you hear fondness for?
Well, Burns, of course. Great lyricist and a bra ear for a tune, and could take a tune and set it in different moods and different ways, which is not always easy to do. Mm-hmm. Nairn, of course, Carolina, the Lady Nairn. When it comes to Poetry Violet, Jacob, of course, Isabel Bailey, although she wasn't so much in the Scots, right enough. And modern, there's a lot of good modern stuff being written. I've just recorded a wee track for a tribute album for Alistair Hewlett. And Adam McNaughton's written some fantastic stuff. Oor Hamlet is being a case of bite, and the other one, Montague and Capulet. Using traditional tunes and putting something interesting, Dane, something interesting with different stuff in it. And of course, Violet Jacob and the late Jim Reid.
Mm-hmm.
That was a marriage made in heaven. You know, you wonder if there is a heaven, did they meet?
And what did they say?
And what did they say? Yeah, you wonder, what was your game plan? Tatting my poems and putting tunes to them. Well, I tell you, you can do that. No. But, no, there are a lot of good people writing. Karine Polward, when she writes in Scots, writes very well. God Do You Lie is just stunning.
Mm-hmm.
It's been translated into Serb and Croat.
Right. Uh-huh.
I mean, you know.
And is money folk writing songs now in Scots as it has ever been, do you think?
There probably is. Probably is. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, because a lot of folk are putting that. I mean, young Steve Byrne is doing some beautiful stuff in Angus Scots. It's lovely, lovely.
Do you write Moni original yourself?
No. I've maybe written half a dozen. I didn't see myself as a songwriter. It has to come over me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll do a wee pastiche now and again for the bairns and write a special song for a wee school and that sort of thing, but I'm not a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've written a couple that I think are quite good.
Mm-hmm.
I think Women of Dundee's quite a good song.
Mm-hmm.
A few people have picked that up and sing it. And of course, popular with bairns the length and breadth of Scotland is the Dandy and the Beano.
Right.
You know, but that's an awful tree. You know, you can write these wee things, but I admire folk that can turn them out,
mm-hmm.
like Adam and Jim Reid,
mm-hmm.
and people like that that just manage to do these things. But I think there's a lot of folk writing in Scots, and long may it continue.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of places do you go to and sing? What kind of settings do you singing in?
Well, I've done halls, festivals, clubs, scales, old folks' homes. Actually, that's getting a bit scary, because you go into an old folks, a senior citizens club now, and there's someone that's younger than me, and you think, oh, wait a minute, hang about.
Something they wrecked you.
Hang about. Mind you, my auntie Minnie died at 103, and she was, until she was over 100, she was still going out to sing to the old folk. But they... Oh, a place. I mean, I've...
Do you often get to go into schools?
Yeah. The Youth Music Initiative provided money, and I went into a couple of dozen schools in Dundee and had good projects. And sometimes the schools just phone me up and say, could you come in for this, because we're doing this and we'd like you to do this and the rest of it. And you get the occasional phone call for one of the bairns saying, my teacher says, would you come in and sing the Dandy and the Beano for us? Because we're doing that. And I said, that's my mum's cousin. And she said, oh, can you get her to come in? And so can you come in? All right, son. What's bairn are you? You know. And actually, nowadays, it's usually my granny's cousin.